A heads up before I get into the details. This story contains spoilers for the show Our Flag Means Death. The Byrate tag, meaning bisexual pirate, has over 125 million views on TikTok. The popularity of this tag doesn't surprise me. Pirates are a bit of a symbol in the queer community. There is no definitive answer as to why, but I'm guessing it has something to do with the fact that pirates reject societal norms and expectations, live removed from the rest of society, usually do not marry, live with groups of people who are largely of the same sex, and, while living away from their biological families, create new communities and networks of support. One might even call these found families. David Jenkins and Taika Waititi play into this phenomenon in their HBO Max series Our Flag Means Death. I know that pirates are a part of modern gay culture, so I wanted to look into to what extent gay people were a part of 18th century pirate culture, and the 18th century in general. Before we get into the historical accuracy, some background on the show. Our Flag Means Death, which has one season so far, follows lovable, well-meaning, wealthy British aristocrat Stede Bonnet as he leaves his monotonous life and loveless marriage to fulfill his dream of becoming a pirate. He acquires a boat, a crew, and soon a list of accidental enemies. One of these enemies, a famed pirate who goes by the name Blackbeard but whose given name is Edward, becomes a love interest for Stede about halfway through season one. Several members of Stede's crew are also canonically queer. Lucius is visibly effeminate and is a committed relationship with a fellow male crew member, and Jim is non-binary and uses they-them pronouns. Queer characters are woven into the plot of This Flag Means Death. None of them are singled out for their queerness, and no one's gender or sexuality becomes their defining character trait. This is refreshing after witnessing countless token gay characters and queer characters whose storylines center around their coming out stories in recent years. However, as I mentioned, while watching the show, I wondered how historically accurate the characters' acceptance and support for their queer crewmates was. The show is somewhat of a utopia for queer representation and its escapism and unapologetic queerness, but it does not ignore the politics of gender and sexuality of the 18th century. For example, one character, when asking Stede about the nature of his relationship with Ed, says,
"I wouldn't be ashamed of anything goes at sea."
This acknowledges that same-sex sexual relationships were accepted but not the norm. However, other characters ignore the non-normative nature of same-sex romantic relationships. When Stede returns to his wife toward the end of the season and she asks who Stede is in love with, he states,
"His name is him."
The scene is centered around Stede's ability to find love, so Stede's wife is only glad that he is happy and does not acknowledge the fact that it is with a man. To learn more about the extent to which Jenkins and Waititi's portrayal of same-sex sexual and romantic relationships in Western 18th century society is historically accurate, I spoke to Northwestern professor Lane Fenrick. He is an Americanist historian of sexuality studies.
I wondered if you could give some insight into what the expectations were of male-male and female-female relationships in the 18th century in America and England.
Well, that's a big question. You know, the biggest answer to that is that adult people of either sex were expected to marry and procreate. But if they did that at a certain point, then there was all kinds of space for them to have very intense emotional and even physical relationships with other people of the same sex. Possibly surprising for our contemporary listener is that even for men, right, that it was understood that men's primary emotional relationships were going to be with other men, even after they married.
What restrictions were put on these same-sex relationships, platonic or otherwise, in the 18th century?
So it's only when they invert their gender expectations, like the Mollies, or on those rare instances where a male couple or a female couple chooses to live with a same-sex partner rather than marrying an opposite-sex partner, that's the line, right, yeah, where they would start to draw attention. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, their world was very, very different than ours.
I want to ask a little bit more about the Mollies that you mentioned.
Okay.
One of the crew members on Our Flag Means Death, his name is Lucius, and he's visibly effeminate and openly attracted to other men. The other people in the show don't criticize him for that. He's accepted, and while it is part of his character, it's not a point of contention, and he's not made fun of for it. Can you tell me a little bit about the development of experiences of and reactions to visibly effeminate men in the 18th century?
In the 18th century, England, and especially London, has this very visible, what I would call proto-gay subculture centered around the Mollies, these cross-dressing men who worked in cafes or bars, brothels, and with whom straight-presenting, right, what we would call straight-presenting men could have sex, could have relationships. And the Mollies definitely understood and were understood by other people to be different. But the straight-appearing, straight-acting men that they had sex with didn't. It doesn't mean that people approved of those relationships because they condemned them, but they didn't really condemn them in any differently than they condemned men having sex with female prostitutes.
My main takeaway from the interview with Professor Fenwick is mostly as expected. Our flag means death is somewhat, but not completely historically accurate. The widespread acceptance of same-sex relationships in the show is mostly characteristic of the time period, especially considering the fact that the characters have almost no opportunities to interact with women. The one unrealistic aspect of representation in the show is the reception of Lucius. As Professor Fenwick outlined, 18th century Brits did not approve of effeminate men or anyone who did not conform to traditional gender norms. Unlike the Mollies in London, Lucius is not treated differently because of his gender presentation. The treatment of Lucius as the same as other crewmates feeds into the utopia that the show builds. While entertaining, the universe created is unrealistic. It is difficult to balance creating historically accurate media that is also entertaining and uplifts marginalized people. Our Flag Means Death attempts to do so with their cast of queer characters, as does Bridgerton with their racially diverse cast. I asked Professor Fenwick his thoughts as a historian.
It's sort of the Hamilton effect, right? I mean, like, one of the ways in which you make it obvious how history was actually constructed and in terms of inequalities is by, you know, doing something like this, where you say, like, well, okay, let's go back and pretend that it looked some completely different way. And that's both very enjoyable and also, I think, shines a whole lot of light on not just the inequalities in that period, but the inequalities in contemporary society.
So, 18th century pirate ships were likely not the queer utopia portrayed on Our Flag Means Death, but I will happily continue my emotional investment in Steve and Ed's relationship. Our Flag Means Death showed me that even if a show is not completely historically accurate, it can provide an important escape from everyday life. And, as Professor Fenwick said, it can bring attention to the problems of today's society, such as the treatment of queer people. For WNUR News, I'm Paul Spa.